Why don't we give folks just a couple more minutes to sign on? I know it's hard
Yeah,
to
I think
Zoom.
people are joining now. This is a time we're all kind of finishing up and everyone's with their clinics and what have you, and then
Yeah, now we're starting to see some numbers.
Yeah, and I'm just checking my emails on my phone in case anybody's having any trouble with the links.
All right, Peach, you want to get started? Being respectful of everybody's time, I'm sure others will join in, but I always like to start on time.
That's a good idea. Yeah, I'll just start with introducing myself. Hello, everyone. I'm Apeksha Tripathi with the Department of Family Medicine at UMass and a primary care with Community Medical Group.
Nice to meet everybody. I'm Dr. Chris McGinnis. I have a lot of roles. I have a few roles. I'm an internal medicine doctor, also in community medical group. I'm a primary care doctor who goes to the hospital, so a little bit of hospital medicine. And we, in addition to LPP work, we're both the co-directors of the early clinical learning curriculum, which is our students' first 18 months of their curriculum. I'm also a learning community mentor, and Dr. Pathy is also a small group leader, so we have our hands in many activities. And we would be very remiss if we didn't introduce our right-hand woman, Anne Perla, who basically is our magnificent educational specialist who saves us and helps us. And you will probably see many an email, from her, even though we all, of course, email the LPP site naturally.
All right. So again, thank you everyone to be able to join this late in the day. I'm sure you all were busy with your clinical or other responsibilities. So we'll try to be on time and be focused on our agenda. For today is we'll go over the initial introduction about the LPP overview. We'll go over a report summary, and then we'll talk about WBAs, which is work-based assessments, and then we'll take up some questions and go forward with that. So LPP basically do you want to go a few slides that it's too okay this was probably Yeah, if you want to
Oh,
go,
So this is, yeah.
yeah, a few slides forward, then I'll just go over.
We're gonna move ahead to go back, go forward to go back, right? Here we go.
So LPP overall, this is an spread over 18 months of the VISTA curriculum in the ECL, and each preceptor gets a pair of students. And the students get a pair of faculty. One is primary care and one is usually a specialty. They have to complete 12 sessions over the period of this 18 months. So broadly speaking, the LPP is divided into three sections. The first section is from August to December, by which they should have completed at least kind of three sessions. The students during these sessions in the first section are supposed to complete at least basic history taking, comfortable take be taking and talking to the patient. Also be able to give an oral presentation. They are gradually advancing, and Chris will cover later on in their physical diagnosis skills where they are at. But by this time, they should be at least do some physical exam in terms of like a vital statistics and cardiopulmonary and abdominal exam. By section two, which spans over January to June, the next 6 months, and they should complete additional 3 sessions. So by summer of next year, they should have covered about 6 to 7 sessions. And this always comes up, so I'll address this right now. And they can work during session summer as well. If they have some missing sessions here and there, they can catch up in their summer. So it's completely all right. By summer, they should be able to do good oral presentation, basic examinations, as well as some write-up. Session three, by which time they are actually an LPP2 or a second-year student, it pans from August to February, and they complete remainder of their 6 sessions during this time. So a complete total se 12 sessions done. During this section, they are able to do, should be able to do very comfortable history taking, talking to the patient, come up with a nice office note, all be able to do the physical examination appropriate to the clinical setting. By then, they've had their physical diagnosis session, so they're comfortable with multiple system physical examinations. They should be doing a very good oral presentation very comfortably, and you know, getting good feedback and receiving the feedback. So this is basically broad layout of the how the LPP is handled. And do you mind we go back to the slides for the review of the a couple, yeah. And I'll probably have Chris, if you could please share with the fall report, yeah.
So a lot of times, you know, you sort of wonder how do the students like the, you know, course? Do they think it's valuable? Is it worthwhile to them? And so, you know, answer is a resounding yes. And students have, and those of you who've done it a few times and have been LPP preceptors for many years, I think have heard great feedback. One of the pieces of feedback is essentially it's very helpful for them to really scaffold and really be able to link their what they're learning to real life patients, real life situations. So as I'm trying to open this, basically what this is highlighting is it's very well rated. The students fill out assessments and they rate the course and LPP. What this slide will have showed you if I open it, I'm not going to waste time trying to open it. It's a little stuck. Is our rating is about 3.6, which is out of a 4-point scale, which is quite good. So it's well received by students. They really feel like it's useful. Here's a snippet of, we all understand the comments are sometimes better than the actual like or ratings, but they talk about how, again, it links what they're learning to, you know, the curricular content, the longitudinal content, and they make the application to real people makes it stick in our students' minds, and it's incredibly valuable. It also exposes many of our students to different types of medicine, pediatrics, OBGYN, surgery, so that they would never see, and it really sparks their clinical interest. Often, you know, students, you'll begin to have like lifelong relationships with these students, and you serve as a mentor. So there is so many invaluable things that the LPP program brings to our students. Our first year students are super eager. I know that hopefully you have already met some of them, and they're eager to start this work. So I hope they've already reached out to you. We do have a similar program at Leahy. Leahy, as many of you know, or many of you maybe don't know, Worcester, UMass Chan Medical School, there is a main Worcester campus where there's about 178 students, and there are two regional campuses that are part of the UMass Chan Medical School. Lead at Leahy, which is in Burlington, Massachusetts, and then in Springfield, Massachusetts, we have our Bay State or Perch regional campus. So we have similar programs, and they are all highly rated at Leahy and at Perch. LPP, so as some of you who have 2 years of students, and thank you, by the way, for taking 2 years of students, it's incredibly valuable. Again, the comments are very positive. They really feel like they're practicing and applying their clinical skills. We're going to go over just what they can do and when they can do it, so you really can be so impactful with our students' learning. So we do hear some feedback of growth, like everything, of course, there's positive and there's growth feedbacks. The growth feedback really centers around, and we're hoping that this presentation can really make you feel at ease, that the students have already learned things they can apply and when talking to the patients. So we really do not want this to be a shadowing experience. They did that in medical school. They are now trained to be physicians, and that's really not terribly valuable. I understand in some specialties, I don't expect they're going to do surgery, but as much as possible, if they can have some direct hands-on care, that's our goal. The other thing, and we'll talk about WBAs about how to give feedback. A lot of preceptors are a little bit nervous about giving students feedback. They don't want to hurt their feelings. They're just starting out. But the students really want to know what they're doing well, what they should reinforce, and what are their areas of growth, because that's the only way they're going to get better is to know where they need to practice, where they need to focus. So the students have been really trained by us to ask you for feedback. But even if they don't, it's a wonderful thing if you could offer some growth feedback to them so they could, you know, learn, work on that. And the next time you see that, you'll see and follow up they're doing better. So the same similar evaluations. This is on OASIS, which all of you have access, most of you have access to. We can certainly, you know, give you an overview if you want to see this report. I'm happy to send it out. But again, this is a highly rated course. Same thing. I think the theme is that, you know, the second years really, really do enjoy their LPP sessions. They tend to do them very early in the year as well. So second year is a very interesting year. It starts in August, but it actually ends in February. So you will not see a second year LPP student after February. It's almost not going to happen because they start prepping for step one. So they like to finish up in the, you know, really the fall of their second year. So you're probably getting a lot of requests now for you know, please can I join you in clinic? Please can I, you know, come to the OR wherever your clinical setting is. So I wanted to just quickly give you a little idea of where they are, especially your first year. So what have they been doing? What's going on? What can I possibly, how could they possibly work with me? They've only been in medical school for a couple of months. So let me reassure you that they actually have been doing a fair amount clinically, much to, I think, our all of our surprise, but actually that's wonderful because we can work on them. So they've already gone through P1, which is basically a kind of the genetic biochemistry course. P2, they're just finishing up. They have their final exam next week. Talks about pathogenesis, cancer concepts, medications. And you can see in the red highlighted areas, the groups know and have practiced. They're not expert, but they know how to perform vital signs, listen to a patient's heart and lungs, do an abdominal exam in small groups. They know how to interview patients, elicit Cardinal 7, elicit family history, social history, certainly the HPI. And they've already been tested on these skills in the OSCE format. So they actually, that's a good amount of material that your students can certainly utilize when interviewing patients in your clinic setting, office setting, hospital setting. So where are they going into when they come back? This is the dreaded, anybody who's gone to school at UMass, blood immunity infections. The students are excited about that. They're a little bit scared of it, but that's okay. But it really is, this is the infectious disease, hematological block. There's a lot of material. They're still learning a lot. They're now learning the basic background of how to give an oral presentation. How do you put this information in an organized way? They're learning how to take a sexual history. All along, they're doing ultrasound focus sessions, which reinforce anatomy. And that this core, this block is very long. It starts in, you know, before the holidays and ends after the holidays. So it's a very long block. When they come back, just to give you a big picture overview, in the spring, they do the what we all remember as anatomy, where they go in the anatomy lab, they have their donor, they're actually doing dissection, so the complete musculoskeletal, followed by the nervous system. And the end of the first year ends with the GI system. So, and you can see throughout that, by the end of first year, they're able to take a complete history, they are writing it up, they're able to give a complete oral presentation, and they're assessed in the OSCE format all throughout this. Just to give you a quick overview for those who have second years, and I know some of you do, they just completed their cardiovascular system, their respiratory system. This is a real time where they're putting it all together. They're working on their differential diagnosis as well as their presentations and really their clinical reasoning piece. You know, right now they're actually going to be going into the renal block. They've already started it, and then they have the reproductive and endocrine block, which I see Dr. O'Connor, he's one of our block leaders on the call. And then they actually are done second year after the block and they begin their step one prep. And really, they're already on their way to being third year. So you will find that most of your second years are, like I said, contacting you now to try to make sure they're getting their requirement in. So just a quick overview, and these slides are available. They'll be posted on our website, putting it all together. Some people, you're like, well, what do they actually learn? When do they learn it? Again, you don't need to commit this. This is easily available. Just give you a sense of when they learn what in the small group setting and in physical diagnosis. So I do have a
Yeah, hospital session also has started, maybe if you want.
Yeah, the hospital sessions have started. Hospital sessions have actually already started for our first years. They start in November and December. And so they already are interviewing patients in the hospital se session, setting, in the inpatient setting, talking to patients, really learning about basic interview skills, physical exam in a hospital setting, which can be, has its own challenges. And really learning to navigate that setting. So you could, this is their first year, which is very different than, what we had in prior curriculum. So very exciting how they really use these skills early on. And then, again, just looking at this to see how it all comes together, clinical reasoning, and by the end of the first year, how they've done a complete physical exam. Second year, the small groups really focuses on clinical reasoning and care of specialized populations with disabilities, use of interpreters, care of veterans, and reproductive counseling. And this again is, I like this slide. It really puts together where we're at. You can already see they've done hospital session one. This, you can see they're doing Cardinal Seven, eliciting history, starting to really work on the formatting of an oral presentation and formulating problem lists. And then this is just another pictorial way. I like pictures. I love graphs, a colorful way to kind of put together, hey, what have they been doing? What do they know? I think it's just great to remind ourselves of where they are. And we just went over this. And now
Okay.
I want to just hand it over to Dr. Pethy to talk about our WBA's work-based assessments for any of those folks who don't know what that stands for, which are amazingly helpful. So I'll let Dr. Tripathi take it away and tell you why they're amazingly helpful.
Thank you. So yeah, we started WBA last year. I think we are using WBA already for our other forms in ECL learning and Vista curriculum, like in hospital sessions and PD. These are formative assessments, and they're very brief, single point observation. They're milestone based, and if you go to the next slide, please. So they're just a set of three questions, and that we could do right then and there when the student has done shadowing or the sessions with you, and then you can just do those three questions. They don't take too much of time. The only thing is, it is 72-hour turnaround time. So if we miss it, it might probably is good to get that done within that time window. These are basically the way it works is once we've done the session, the student will do the WBA form, and then once they write their name, it will generate a QR code, and that you could do in your cell phone or just scan it, so you don't have to have a login or a password. It will straight take you to the WBAs for you to enter your feedback. Or if not, then you will have through OASIS receive an email, which is auto login link, which would look something like that. It would just click on this link, and that would bypass the password and username entry, and then you'll have the three questions, which are very basic for in a formative way. There'll be like a green highlight, which would know where the student should be by this stage, so you would have some kind of way about what you're progressing, what you're evaluating in that period of time. So I think the key is the 72-hour window, because if if you get that done, it's just three questions and we're done. A lot of times we kind of 2 months down the road, we forget if we have many students, like, oh, who that student was, or was it the first year, what is the second year? So it's kind of a lot of a memory challenge. The best is to do live right then and there and be done. Our goal was 60% in the first year. And if we go to the other slide and just see the statistics as to how we are doing in the terms of statistics, the first year we got 59% WBAs, and for LPP2 we had 51%. percent, which is pretty actually good statistics given it was the first year that we launched it. And you know, knowing that 32% evaluations were not initiated, so with the remainder we got this percentage, which is a very good turnaround. And then hoping this year we cross the 70% benchmark. Then we also have a very wonderful ILM, a website link for the LPP. If we click that and open and see while it's loading.
I will say while it's loading, there's our site. So I just want to reiterate, as mentors, as a mentor, I will review this your formative feedback with the students. So when I meet with the students, we'll look at all their assessments, their small group leaders, maybe my WBA from physical diagnosis, but it's very helpful to get another resident, fellows, attendings perspective and look for themes like, huh. It says that you're really engaging with patients. You have a wonderful personality. You're very empathetic. But I see a theme that your organization, we need to work on your organization. Or I see a theme that, you know, it sounds like you're not giving complete presentations. That's something as a mentor that I can point out and the student can sort of self-assess and work on. And if you don't have that feedback, you're not able to do that. So I know that again, it's sometimes you think, oh, it's another thing. I'd rather, you know. But really, the questions are great, but really the written feedback you give is so valuable. And it, you know, I usually try to do that. I have the students send it to me, and then try to do it by the end of the day, so I still remember like the highlights, the one or two things that I thought went well, and maybe an area of growth, that 2-to-1 ratio. But I think those can be very helpful. And I'll let you talk about. No, this is fantastic. Our wonderful website. I'll let Dr. Trivathi talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. Are we able to link, open this? If we click the link, otherwise I can share my screen when it's opened up.
Yeah, do you want to? Because it's and my screen is actually.
Okay, let me share my screen and then
Are you looking? Can you see this? What are you seeing right now?
we're not seeing the website. So.
Yeah, if you want to share it, because I'm seeing it on my screen, but feel free to share it.
Oh, okay. So this is the website, and then is that the Is this a screen? I think. Do you want to? I'm not getting the
Yeah, are
actual.
you seeing what are you seeing that what are you seeing? And do you see what are you guys seeing?
It's showing the end of the
Yeah. I
ILM,
think if you go
and
back
now
to
it's
that
back to the
screen,
slide.
it was the web page right next to what you were showing.
okay. Let me stop. I'm going to stop sharing and reshare. Maybe that'll be easier. Sorry about the technical difficulty. You know how it goes sometimes. All right, let's see. We go back down here. Okay, but hopefully we can bring up this wonderful website.
Okay, now, yeah, let me just, I'll try to share now. Let's see if we do this time. Let's see, share, hopefully. Okay, does this come up?
Welcome to the Longitudinal Perceptive Program.
Okay, so this
This
is,
overview will
so I'm just muting it, but just going through, this is a wonderful, very comprehensive ILM, a website, which kind of answers most of the frequent questions that we have and we run into. And it just, sometimes back and forth email. I know Anpurla wonderfully gets back to us with all the questions and in the emails, but sometimes it's a lot more easier with the email turnaround. Just go to this website, click, and you'll find, I think, majority of your questions information. So if I play this, I hope I'm able to just kind of going over very quickly to this website. It has about all the the tabs about the structure, how it the learning objectives, assessment, all these different contact informations and various resources. If we click on this, we get all the information. It also has the details on work-based assessment if we have more questions about what that entails. And if we play that, it'll, have more information. So feel free to kind of, go, access the site, play around and see what areas we need more information. You can always email us, but this might be sometimes more efficient way to just kind of get more information.
And on the site, there'll be a WBA to look at again, just to get the score. So just in general, sometimes, it's easy to get caught up in the numbers, but in general, a first year student would be expected to get a 1.5 in their first year. And as they're getting to the end of discovery, you would expect a 2.5. And there are some indications of what that means about incompleteness and able to do the exam to what level. So I want to emphasize not get caught up in the numbers, but really, the comments are much more rich, honestly, as somebody looking at a lot of these, when I can read the comments, that really is more helpful to the students.
If we go back to our slides, there are some common frequently asked questions that we can just quickly go over before we take up more questions. Do we have the presentation, Anne?
All right, let's see, we're back.
Yeah, we're back towards the end of the slide.
There we go.
Okay. So how long a session? This question comes up quite often. Typically a 3 to 4 hour session is good enough. Like, they can join you in the morning session or the afternoon session. And most of us start 8 or 9 by noon. So it completes about 3 hours. So it doesn't have to be all day, one half session. Can these sessions be completed over the summer? Absolutely, yes, they can catch up. And if you are working, that completely works for them as well. Who do I reach out if my students doesn't contact me? There are other issues. Definitely feel free to, email us at the lpp.umass.edu website. We're all, very constantly. And I must say that Anne Perla is very, very prompt in responding. Sometimes I've not even read the question and then there's a response already that I'm like, oh boy, there's somebody really on top of these emails and addressing the questions. We've gone over the WBAs and how long the WBA is 72 hours. Requesting a change of preceptor due to preceptor availabilities. We get that often. Sometimes, the students are having problems with transportation. They don't have a car or they would like it near their home or near, we got all these requests. We have a timeline of like about three, is it N, 3 days or a 2 days once they are matched with LPP that they could do the swap?
Yeah, they had the weekend that that was in the beginning of October.
Right. So when they have the assignments, they have a weekend to kind of swap or change it with their, fellow students about if what works with them. But if there are certain situations where someone's gone on maternity, there are things like that do come up. It's not uncommon. So we do make, adjustments according to that. But just because the distance or something trivial, like I don't like it there, or, something which is very, which would involve students' adjustment, it may be harder once the session is up and running in the LPP, but typically we go with case-by-case basis on these. Next slide, let's see.
And then we just have...
Okay.
I did, before we open it up to best practices and just more questions, the other question that we didn't make our list, but I recently just had gotten a few, requests for clarification is, so sometimes you think, oh, I have two students. You have a pair of students. And so just to reemphasize that the pair is, as for your purposes, is like one student. So they're with you three sessions. They're with another preceptor, another three sessions. So what we try to do our best to do is match primary care. And for purposes of primary care, I know EM is not primary care, but for purposes of having exposure and practicing these important early clinical exam skills, we sort of count it that way. And then a specialty experience. So when you have a pair of students, sometimes people say, well, I have two students. That's actually, we consider that one pair. So just to kind of keep that in the back of your mind. And occasionally things happen where obviously life happens and for whatever reason, you're not able to, complete the LPP, you're leaving, UMass Chan, whatever the reason, feel free to reach out to us and let us know. We do have substitutes. It really is hard for the student if they can't, like, often it's the other way around that the student goes to LPP faculty, but occasionally we can't find the faculty or whomever's supposed to work with them. So if you know that, oh, this is not going to work out for me, please let us know and we can reassign your students. I want to just, before we hit the questions, just so I think our whole team wants to thank you so much. We know you're not doing it for the money, because you're not getting much money. We know that. You're getting a small stipend, but we know that you really love our students and love the experience of teaching. And we're so grateful because the students honestly have such meaningful experiences that go well past their graduation from medical school. And it's really because of you all. So I wanna, sometimes we get lost in the questions and we forget to, you know, really convey our heartfelt thanks, but I wanted to make sure I made space for that before we take the questions. And then hear about sort of what are some best practices. This is a wonderful community, a wonderful group. So I'm curious to hear some for some of our experienced veterans, what they do to really make this work with their schedule. Let's open it up to questions before we maybe get a few best practices. Any clarifying questions? I'm keeping an eye on the chat too. Oh, yes. I know, Matt. No, it's a small stipend. But a stipend. So Anne will, you know.
I think it goes to the department. I don't think I've ever seen it.
Yeah, I haven't either, but I believe it exists.
It does.
My heart, I believe it exists. So
the only people who get the stipend are those in private practice and the residents get ad comp.
Yes.
That's it. Sorry, Dr. Most.
I love you, Dr. Mosen. Thank you for still doing this wonderful work.
There's a question in the chat that are we able to access the WBA after the 72-hour window? And I think no, the answer is because it usually goes away, which is pretty consistent with how the WBAs have been in other areas like hospital sessions or BD. So it's really the 72-hour window. Any other question?
I wanted to share two observations that I've heard in the past year with this group, and they've been not, I don't think they'll shock anybody. You know, the students want to be involved. So whatever way you can involve them, and I understand like surgeons, they're not going to be doing surgery, but if they can scrub in the OR, whatever experience they can have is really meaningful. And you have an amazing role modeling. Thank you for taking that on responsibility. The students really look up to you. So I think sometimes debriefing, you know, things, talking with the student, asking them their goals. I know we're asking, you know, you a lot, and I know that this is, you have many other clinic responsibilities, but I think the more that you sort of invest in them, I think that'll pay tenfold with your educational experience. But we would love to hear certainly early if you have an experience that you feel isn't appropriate, or you feel that learner in whatever way was not appropriate, was not professional. It's a rare thing at UMass. I think our students are among the best and the brightest, but if you have an experience where you're like, huh, or a student who's chronically late, or a student who's not dressed appropriately, please reach out to us. This is part of the goal also is to teach professionalism and make sure that they're understanding as they start a profession that the standards of our profession. Yeah, that's fine. And I agree, Dr. Avery. So sometimes, you know, our goal is 70%, which obviously is not 100%. So I think I think Dr. Avery brings a good point. In the beginning, what are you assessing? Their ability to talk to a patient? You're right. But maybe, you know, by mid-year or end of year, when you see growth, that would be something that would be beneficial, especially in that formative feedback of, you know, your presentation have improved greatly. You're much more organized. You know, something that they could really say, okay, that's something I can work on, or something I still need to work on. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Control.
Yeah. And I would just add quite a little bit thing in addition to what Chris, I totally agree with that, is of the three questions, if they just meet one question, I mean, we could say not applicable for the other two. And if it's just the one question that we could assess that, that's fair enough. Like, you know, so just still filling out, like, so it's fair enough.
We have so many veterans on the call. Anybody want to share? Because we have a lot of new, I'm seeing a lot of first time, new attendings, new residents. Anybody want to share any best practices or anything, any pearls of wisdom that they have along the way? I would just say this is such a learned group. I think Apisha, they're good. I will say though that all of our information so wonderfully is displayed on the website. Our slides will certainly be available. Apisha and I are very happy to talk to anybody, or please reach out to us via email, certainly the LPP website. But if you have any individual concerns, please don't hesitate to contact us directly and say, or just with a question. We will periodically update the curriculum because this is a lot of information and we're fully invested in VISTA. So we are going to have a spring session just to update you. Okay, what are the students doing now? Are there any kind of check-in? Is there anything that's happened or anything that you think, we want your feedback. So please give us your feedback. If you think that, this would be more helpful. We'd like this kind of information. We're very open to that. We want this program to be as smooth for you as possible and really be impactful for our students.
Yeah. And we'll be sharing the recordings of this meeting today. So we'll have the slide deck and with all the websites in it for the, as a resource. So then we'll be doing that. And I echo all Chris says, thank you very much for all the hard work we're doing. It's our passion for teaching and making a change in our community with the students, with better future doctors. And so thank you again, everybody.
We absolutely could not do it without you, 1,000%. And we are extremely grateful for you all and really are in awe for your dedication to our students. So realizing that it is late Wednesday night and you're tired from your hard day of work, because we're all busy clinicians as well, we certainly do not want to hold you. Thank you for your time. We will stick around if anybody has like a question they'd like to ask sort of one-on-one. We'll stay on for a few minutes afterwards, but thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you.